Genesis again. Genesis chapter 9. We'll be reading verses 1 through 17. Brother Price is not feeling well tonight, so that's why he is not here. And Brother Biz still has the flu. We'll be praying for those two gentlemen and their wives as they care for them. You know, men, when we get sick, we can be pretty sad fixtures in life. Ladies, they just have a baby, keep on picking corn. Like, what happened here? Bushel of corn over there if they have a baby. What in the world? Men, we're not like that. We get sick and boy, the world comes to an end. So y'all pray for, I guess we should pray more for Brother Price, Sister Price and Sister Kuman than we do the men. No, I'm kidding. They are sick and y'all, they do need prayer. And of course, everybody does on our list. Don't forget our Vacation Bible School flyers. We have plenty. Don't feel shy. We put more out. As soon as they go, we'll get more out and get those done. And looks like there's all kind of stuff to sign up over there for. So pick your page and sign up right, because you could sign up in the wrong place and be teaching a lesson before you know it. So make sure you sign right. There's plenty to sign up over there. A lot going on here at the end of summer. School will be starting before we know it. And so be a help where you can and be busy for the Lord all the time. Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 through 17. God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon the earth, upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives shall I require at the hand of every beast, will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of a man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. And you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. Verse 12. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I have make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be given in the cloud, shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow which the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all the flesh that is upon the earth. What's amazing about this point is you study and look through the life of Noah. Soon as the ark rested, Noah came off of the ark, and back in chapter 8, you'll notice in verse 20, the first thing Noah did, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. Kind of reminds us of what the Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 6, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Noah wasn't worried about a house for his family, wasn't worried about establishing a food truck business to, you know, sell food on the side of the road. Noah came off that ark and he sought God. That was the very first thing that he did. And I believe that is a good example for all of us as we look into this new beginning. This is absolutely a new beginning. There's a new order established. Now, only people here is eight people on all of the earth. We read about there in verses 1 through 7 as the establishment of things starting to take place. What is good to note here to me is in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, the very first thing that we read is, and God blessed Noah and his sons. That is a direct result from God, because Noah first sought God when he come off the ark. This is a principle that we must get into our hearts and our minds, is that we must first seek ye the kingdom of God. Now, what is also amazing about this, that same phrase has not been mentioned since way back in Genesis chapter number 1. Look in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 28. Genesis chapter number 1. Verse 28, and the Bible says there, and God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now from that point all the way up to where we just read in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, the Lord hasn't blessed anybody. It doesn't say that. Yet, they have been blessed. You don't have to be told you're blessed. I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you trust in Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, and you're on your way to heaven because of what Christ did for us, you are blessed. Quit living in the moment of the circumstance of the hour to determine if we're blessed. I have been blessed beyond measure. I've been saved now 20, going on 29 years. Come in October. I've been married 32 years to the same woman, and had our ups and downs, fights and ins and outs and things of that nature. 8 children later, we're still together 32 years. I've been preaching for 27 years. I've been pastoring now 11 years here at Lock Haven Baptist Church. I have been blessed. God hasn't told me every day, Brother Robert, you're blessed. It's understood that if I get nothing else from God, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. Don't allow the circumstances to rob you of the understanding that we are a blessed people. Greater is he that lives within me than he that lives in this world. I'll tell you, different, you're going to walk through some valleys. But you cannot enjoy the mountaintops, dear friend, until you get down in the valley. You spend all your time up on the mountaintop. That's like anybody. You go over to Disney World every day, every day, every day, every day. When these visitors, these tourists come and they mention Disney World to you, you'll be the worst advocate for Disney. Because you're sick of it. You just should be tired of it. You know, it's like somebody that works in the food industry. Friend, you know, you're cooking chicken gizzards, chicken gizzards, chicken gizzards, chicken gizzards all day long. You want the hot dog after a while. You don't want to talk about chicken gizzards. Because why? Because that's all you have, dear friend. I'm going to tell you, God does not have to tell us day in, day out, day in, day out. In other words, I'm going to tell you this. God expects some maturity. God expects some growth. You know who we have to encourage to walk? Little babies like Joash. Joash right now is standing up. He won't move. He just stands. Come on, Joash. Come on, Joash. You can do it, Joash. You can. I would look like Adam. Come on, you can walk, bud. Come on, you can stand up. That doesn't go, does it? Because we know Adam can walk. God expects us to grow, to have some maturity. And we don't have to be patted on the back every day and pampered. We live in a very, very troubled society. I mean, you know, it's got to be, we got to be complimented constantly. I think it has something to do with this social media craziness we got going on. If I don't get 14 likes on this post, I'm really not doing good. So we're going to make up false accounts and get 14 likes. Hey, listen, dear friend, we are blessed. There's a great song come out, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. We have been blessed. Right now, tonight, we should be able to stand up one by one and tell in an area where we have been blessed. Brother Ray told me just this past 2 days he's lost two close friends. Two close friends. Just one this evening, Brother Ray. I'm sorry to hear it. Found him up in a bucket truck, cutting trees and limbs. Somebody passed by and saw him there. You know, Brother Ray found some blessing in that. He said, you know what, Pastor? They both was really close to Donna. So she probably got some good company right now. Even in that instant, Brother Ray, you can find blessings. But God ain't going to leave us out there to dry, just to just fizzle up. He tells us we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So, somebody got a blessing they want to share with us right now? Anybody? Yes, ma'am. Miss Jennifer. Hey, blessed. Beyond measure. Blessed. It is amazing. We stop and think about it, dear friend. We just count our blessings and name them one by one. And then all of a sudden, this is the goodness of God. All of a sudden, we have a verse like this. And God blessed Noah. God blessed Noah. I tell you, Noah needed it, didn't he? He didn't hear that. He just spent a whole lot of time on a boat that was rocking around with animals. You're talking about faith. 120 years he built and worked and labored and worked and labored and worked and labored. And not one time do we read in the Word of God that says, well, Noah, that there 2x4, that's pretty good. And Noah's blessed because he could build a 2x4. Just kept going. I'm telling you, friend, keep going. And one day you're going to hear that still small voice. You're blessed. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So here you have the establishment of how things would work in verses 2 through 3. Hold on to your diet plan right here, dear friend, because this is how it works with God. And fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air and upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea until your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. And so they're given all flesh to eat. Pastor, all flesh? All flesh. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Just so we have confirmation of this. If you don't like hog and cheese, doesn't mean I don't have to. Just because you don't like spam doesn't mean I don't have to not like spam. You like walking around eating green beans and carrots raw, that's your business. Don't bother me. But don't stick your nose up at other people when they're eating whatever they want to eat. Long, 1 Timothy chapter 4. We make a big deal out of this and we don't have to, dear friend. What you eat, put in your body, your business. What I eat, put in my body, is my business. But God covered it because he knew some of us would have to have to be helped in this area. 1 Timothy, what I told y'all, chapter 4 and verse number 3. Forbidding to marry, that's what it says. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good. Nothing to be refused if it is be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by word of God and prayer. So the diet thing, he's laid out the diet. And then they begin to eat. Okay, if that didn't get you, there's some other things that that requirements is here that we need to really look at. And one of those is found in verse 4. But the flesh, so you can eat all this, you need all this stuff, it's yours. But listen to what he says. But the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood, thereof ye shall not eat. So be careful with your meats. Make sure you cook it through. Make sure you get it cool. And that's still in effect today. The church in Jerusalem had this conversation and deciding what to do and how to do it. And one of the things that come back was stained for blood, in the diet there. So you can eat what you want, have what you want, but be careful because you should be cooking your meat pretty thorough. That's what it says here. I know some of you like it moving. Some of you, it's got to be just seared and that's it, but there's a reason. God has a reason behind this. Because there's diseases and stuff that travel through there. I'm not a medical doctor. I know you didn't come to hear a dietitian, but this is where we find ourselves tonight in the Word of God. And then in verse 6. Now this one here has got us crossways in our nation. But it is God's plan. Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For the image of God made he man. Capital punishments of God, dear friend. This is God's plan. This is how God said it. You might say it's cruel and unusual, but it's God's plan. It's how God set it up. And so capital punishment put here. This is an establishment of the earth now. Remember, everything's destroyed. You have 8 people, and so God's put some things into place. And so capital punishment's one of those. It's there. It is scriptural. That it's there. And then in verse 7, they were to populate. And you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. Why is that? Because God created this earth to be inhabited. And without multiplication of people, it would not be inhabited. Look over in Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter number 45. In verse number 18. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 18. The Bible says, therefore thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. A command was given that they would go forth and to multiply. Then, as they multiplied, in verse number 8 through 18, you find a new covenant. This is an agreement toward sinful man and God. God approached them. Wait, God. Noah found grace in the eyes of God, yes, but that did not mean he was not a sinner. We know in the next couple of chapters, actually in this chapter, he begins to have a vineyard, and he grows that vineyard, and it really gets him in trouble. It leads him down a road that it causes him to do some things and be some things that he would not normally be, but it is because he is a sinner. So God makes this covenant there in verse 8, and God spake unto Noah, and to his sons with him saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant. So God approaches man. And God makes this covenant. It wasn't man coming to God. We have to understand something. We serve a sovereign God. And this is God's plan. It's God's way. And so as Noah built the ark, and he built it according, as it said there, and he did it according to all the commandments of God, that's how we need to live our life, according to God, according to his plan. And as we do it and we live our life according to His plan, you know, things go a lot quicker, a lot smoother, a lot better there. It is a lasting long as the earth was to stand and to be. Look in verses 9 through 10. And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl of the cattle, of every beast of the earth, with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all the flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. So you have this new covenant. You say, well, why is it important for God to do this? Well, think about it. It hadn't rained up until this point. Up until the time that the flood happened, it had not rained. So if God didn't make this agreement and this covenant, can you imagine the fear that men would have lived in every time it began to rain? And so God came and He made this covenant with them and made an understanding so that they'd have this agreement with God that, hey, listen, here's my covenant. I'm not going to destroy, the earth anymore through a flood. And so He doesn't want us to have a spirit of fear because they would live in fear. So He made this agreement. He laid it there. And it's a perpetual. Verse 12, it says, therefore, it's a perpetual generation. That means it's forever. As long as the earth shall be established, the entire earth. Now, don't get messed up with there's flooding here. I mean, you know, along the Mississippi, there's flooding. Along the Missouri River, right now, there's some flooding that's taking place. And there's some lives that have been lost. That's not what God's talking about. What God's talking about is an entirety. That He would not destroy the earth in its entirety, through the flood. And He said, now here's a token, or here's a sign for you. In verse 12 through 17, He said, and this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature, that it is you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of covenant between me and the earth, and it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you. Every living creature of all the flesh of the waters shall no more come and become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it. This is God talking. He's saying to Noah, I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and the everlasting, every living creature of all the flesh is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And so the token is the bow, or we know it as a rainbow. It is a rainbow, and it's, got the three different type colors, mainly red, yellow, and blue. It's very beautiful. You look at it. But God said, when you look at it, when the clouds appear, when the storm comes, at the end of the storm, generally speaking, is when you see that rainbow. And you notice that the arch is like that. It's kind of up there. And you think about it, as it's a covenant, what they call that, greater than, smaller than, less than, what is it? Mathematic teachers, help me. The sign. The caret. Yeah, it's like a triangle, greater than, less than. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
It's called a carrot?
Yeah.
Wow. All this time I thought carrots was arms, and they eat rabbits either. Wow, so, a carrot. Okay. Anyways, the bow is not like that, but in my mind, I'm thinking that I look at it, and which way is this? Is it saying God is greater than? Because His covenant, it's His covenant. He is His covenant with us. It covers us. Also, you think about this, like an archer pulls his bow. The bow. Where would the arrow be going if that was a bow, an arrow?
Up
up away from us. What is the what is the arrow? It brings danger. It brings hurt. It brings pain. And so, in my mind, there it is. There's that bow. It's very beautiful, but it's a covenant. You know, I'm just thinking this in my mind. You think how you want to think. This isn't in the Bible. I'm just looking at that rainbow, and it's God's. But there is some in our society that are trying to rob God's covenant. And it's not meant for that. This was God's covenant to show us that it would not be a destruction of all mankind by the way of water anymore. But you know, it's an amazing thing. This is what I found as I studied out this rainbow. Look at this verse here, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Here's a verse that helps us, that helps me. It may not help you, but it helps me. When I'm looking, I'm studying the Word of God, I'm pondering, I'm looking at life, I'm looking at everything around us. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. One statement I did find about the rainbow is that it's produced by the sun that shines through the raindrops. Aren't you glad that even God's light shines through the raindrops of our life? It is. That's an amazing thing, you know. So all these are just thoughts. They're not just dogmatic doctrines. Don't leave here and think that the pastor said that the bow is a carrot and an archer's bow. And it's a, these are just thoughts that's running through my mind as I look at this covenant, this sign, and then the emblem of the symbol of the rainbow that we have used there. But 1 Corinthians 13:12, this verse helps me a lot here when I'm studying Scripture, because the devil tries to sneak up beside you and try to whisper in your ear that, you know, you can't believe the Bible. But listen to what it says. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then, talking about when I'm with God, then shall I know even as also I am known. There's a lot of stuff I hadn't figured out, dear friend. I told you, been preaching almost 27 years. There's a lot in here. But there's coming a day when my God in heaven is going to help me to understand clearly. And I'm going to know everything that God's in it. God's ways are higher than our ways. And my thoughts are way below the thoughts of God. I can't understand it all. He doesn't leave me in the dark, because I tell you what He does for me. After He reveals stuff to me and I begin to faithfully live according to what He's revealed, He always gives me some more, shows me some more, and He gives me a little more, and He helps me along the way. But I do know this. This is something, when you think about that bow, it's half. You never see a complete. Somebody told me it was complete. I never saw the whole round. But as I was searching this out, there's coming a day I'm going to see a complete rainbow. Go with me to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. What is the old saying about the rainbow? It's this old fairy tale looking thing. There's a pot of gold at the end. Nobody ever found the end of the rainbow, so the pot's always there. Have anybody ever heard that? I'm the only one who heard that. Y'all heard it? Okay. Well, there's coming a day, dear friend, that we, according to Scripture, as far as I can read and understand right here, that one day I'm going to see a complete rainbow. Look with me in Revelation 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, the door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Verse 3, and he that sit was to look upon like a jasper, a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Now when I read it, it looks like there's a rainbow. I'm going to be able to see a complete rainbow, Brother James. I got to go around the throne. What is that saying? One day this promise of resurrection is going to be complete. I'm going to get to see the complete covenant of God. I'm going to get to see all of my Savior, and not just read about Him in a book and have Him live in my heart and get me down the road in difficult times and encouragement through Scripture. There's going to be a day when I see the throne where He's sitting, and it says in my mind that there is a rainbow round about. How that is? It's God's light. Just like when that sun shines through that dark cloud and that rains come down and the storms fade away, and then there's that covenant, that promise. We have a promise. I've been sealed until the earnest of the day of redemption. I've been sealed. And that promise is going to be complete. Oh, dear friend, I'm not perfect now. Oh, not long shot am I perfect, but there's coming a day. Oh, dear friend, I'm going to know just as I'm known. We can't fathom it, dear friend. I don't know about you. I can't. Let me put it like this. I cannot fathom what was the value that it took to purchase this old wretched sinner. I can't comprehend in my mind. I can't wrap around in my mind when He tells me it's like precious stones. And, you know, I don't have it. But when I see those nail-scarred hands, and I see my Savior standing to receive me, it says there, a trumpet talking says, come up hither. I'm thinking that's the rapture happening right there, dear friend, in my mind. And when I study Scripture, I'm up out of here. I'm gone. The rest of the revelation can happen. I'm going to be with my Lord and Savior. I'm going to be seeing my Savior. And then I'm going to understand when God says, I gave my only begotten Son. I can't fathom. I have four boys and four daughters, and we had two miscarriages along the way. I can't imagine, even right now, Sister Barbara, giving up one of them. Not a one of them. For any of you guys. I can't. But my God gave up His only begotten Son. What a day that's going to be. And verse 3, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. That's some precious stone that is likened unto the blood of Christ. Oh, what an everlasting sign that we get to enjoy. We get to look out. We get to see that rainbow. Don't let this old world and the wickedness of it steal God's covenant. That's for you and I to enjoy and to understand that God Himself made a covenant with sinful man. And it's an everlasting sign. And it never, ever terminates as long as we're here on this earth. As long as we're here. It was seen in the day of Noah's day, the rainbow, and we see it in our day. That's the God we serve. It's the God we serve. It's incomplete right now. It's kind of a half circle, but I'm waiting for that day when I get to see that whole circle of rainbow and the promises of God be fulfilled, and their yea and amen and all of His promises. Even in the darkest of the hour, we're blessed. Even in the darkest moments of the day, we are blessed. You understand, when you think about Noah, I'm going to just ramble here just for a moment. You think about Noah in that ark. God told him to build the ark. God told him to get the animals. The animals came in. God shut the door. The storm raged. And the storm, the waters of the deep broke loose. And he could feel the movement of the boat, feel all that. And in the midst of that, dear friend, I'm going to tell you, there had to be some fear that took place. Can you imagine when the ark first lifted off? Okay, you're inside. And then 22 days later, it's still raining. 27 days, it's still raining. 33 days, it's still raining. Sometimes, dear friend, your storm rages on. But you are secure in the Lord. And one day, your ark will come to a rest. But know this, our God in heaven is always with us. Always with us. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. Pianist is going to come. Maybe you want to come tonight and just say, Lord, thank you. I have been blessed. I've allowed this old world and the hardships of the day or the hour or the month to overcome. Run to the Lord, because we have been blessed.